Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, January the 28th, 2022. 17 minutes past the hour, last Friday in the month of January. And we didn't have any weather report there. I was kind of startled. We went right from the news report to my theme song, but I'm sure we will get that ironed out before the morning is over here. Now, a lot of news this morning that I want to go through here before we get underway with the big prize giveaway. I've had a lot of fun the last couple Fridays here on the station doing a big prize giveaway, either for Sans Sodas or we actually have one here for Wendy's today, so I'm not sure if I'm going to do $10 to Sans Sodas or $10 to Wendy's, but we have a unique way to do it today. We're not going to do Family Feud, which is a lot of fun, but I actually got I guess they would be company slogans. Now, I know we did something like this maybe sometime last summer and actually had a lot of fun with it. So I've got these company slogans, and we'll see if you know the company that I'm talking about. And I figure everybody should be on fair footing with that one. We all watch commercials. We all watch television, internet, radio, so on, newspapers, so on and so forth. So I will give you, I'm not sure if I'm going to give you the slogan and you have to tell me the company, or if I give you the company and you have to tell me the slogan. I haven't decided yet, because the problem is some of the slogans have the name of the company in them. So that's going to be kind of hard. So I might have to give you the company, and you give me the slogan. But we'll get into that as time goes on this morning, because we do have some news that we need to cover here this morning. If you live out in the Grandview area, you know that about 700 customers near Grandview, a state subdivision, were without water yesterday, because an 8-inch water main along Pole Lane Road ruptured late yesterday afternoon. The break was believed to have been caused by the recent weather conditions. It took them a while to fix it because of the weather conditions, but I think water was restored last night around 8:30 p.m. Now, the important part of this is, as a precaution, customers in the area are being asked to boil their water for at least 1 minute before consuming it, brushing their teeth, cooking or making ice cubes with the water. This precautionary advisory will be in effect for 24 hours from last night around 8:30, 9 o'clock. This will give the water quality professionals time to receive test results to assure no bacteria or other contaminants have entered the water distribution system. So about 700 people in Grandview last night were without water from late afternoon through about 8:30, 9 o'clock last night. They have the pipe fixed. It was caused by the weather. And now that it was restored last night at 8:30, until they can do all the work up on the water to make sure that it's good and safe, boil your water for the next 24 hours. Boil the water for at least 1 minute is what it says. So that's that news report. And then I know a lot of people are having issues with food, so on and so forth. So we have the Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road, is having its food giveaway this Saturday, January 29th. The parking lot opens up at 8 a.m. and the food giveaway is at 9 a.m. This is tomorrow. The church gives away a couple hundred full grocery carts full of food. So again, that's the big food giveaway at the Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road, tomorrow morning, January 29th, Saturday, January 29th. The doors open up. Well, the parking lot opens up. I guess you go and sit in the parking lot at 8 a.m. And the food giveaway starts at 9 a.m. So those are the big news stories of the morning. Now, something else I wanted to talk about here. We all know about Del Taco, which is coming to town. And I'm not sure who left this here, but it was here when I got here this morning. There is a menu for Del Taco. Now, I'm sure this is for a Del Taco in another area, because obviously ours is not open yet, but I have been asking, what does Del Taco serve? And, well, it looks like they have some combos, quite a few combos, a matter of fact, 10 combos. They have their regular Del Tacos, they have their Del Burrito, they have a grilled chicken burrito, they have a cheeseburger, they have grilled chicken tacos, they have quesadillas, they have fish tacos. How about that? Does anybody else in town do fish tacos? They have crispy chicken tacos. They have beef burritos. What else do they have here on the bed? Well, they've got salads, burritos, salads, tacos, quesadillas, burgers, and fries. Now, I don't think there's any taco place in town, fast food, that does fries. Now, I'm a salad person, and a lot of these salads look good. They've got seasoned beef, grilled chicken. I love a good grilled chicken salad. They've got Beyond Meat, which I guess is a salad with a lot of meat, a veggie salad. They've got 20 under $2 menu. That's what it's called, the 20 under $2 menu, which I guess is the value menu. They've got mini shakes, iced tea, regular coffee, iced coffee, strawberry lemonade, Sprite, all kinds of stuff here. They've got kids meals, shakes, desserts, and drinks, caramel cheesecake bites, mini cinnamon churros, shakes. Looks like they have Coke products. So all kinds of stuff at this Del Taco that will be opening up here in Marion. I would say, you know, fairly soon. But they have this 20 under $2 menu, which that's not a bad deal at all. And I'll tell you, if this is true, which I don't know why it wouldn't be, this is a Del Taco menu here. If you're selling shakes and tacos and burgers and all these things, I just don't think there's enough. And I am not trying to knock it, because this sounds like it could be a very successful business. But I'm telling you, I don't know if there's enough room in that parking lot to have people park and have a drive-through. But we'll see what happens. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what was that, Beyond Meat? Or?
Yeah, there's a salad here.
I bet that's plant-based meat.
Oh, you think?
Oh, it's big anymore for these stores.
So not just extra meat, it's plant-based meat.
Yeah, I would guess it's plant-based meat.
Well, that's it. I just couldn't believe it when I saw this morning, because I know I've talked about all the Mexican-themed restaurants that we have Mexican food. We have El Campesino, and we have, Mi Jalapenos, and we have Taco Bell, and we have Victor's Tacos. But I don't think there is any taco place in Marion where you can get a burger as well as fries.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Taco Bell had fries for a short period of time before.
Yeah, this place has a bacon double cheeseburger. It has they have crinkle cut fries, chili cheddar fries.
Well, they're trying to appeal to everybody.
Well, they are, and that's what I think. Well, maybe
you know,
they will survive.
You get a car full of people go through there. Not everybody might want tacos.
No,
or
but
not everybody might want burgers, you know.
Well, that's interesting though, because I would think now that the burger joints out on 95, which is where they'll be, like Wendy's and Burger King and McDonald's, well, they're also going to have competition. It's not just Taco Bell and El Campesino and those places.
Yeah, you talk about that. Well, if you don't think that's big enough, I don't see it either.
Well, here's the problem.
Man, when they open up, that's going to be a madhouse.
Well, that's it. If this is the menu, and like I say, it's from Del Taco. Nobody wrote this down. And if this is the menu, this place is going to be packed. And in that area on 95, there is no light there. The light's at Perkins. There is no light right there in front of Del Taco. And with that short parking lot, if it gets just half the business that Panda Express got when they opened, and I think they'll get more than Panda Express with this big of a menu, the two things are going to happen that happen to every restaurant. Number one, the staff's going to be overwhelmed. And some people are going to get bad food.
It's not going to be the quality.
Yeah, right. And there's going to be people won't come back, which is always a problem. And the second thing is, that parking lot is not deep. I looked at it the other day. You know, the people who own that land back there, I know for years that Perkins was trying to purchase some of that land to extend their parking lot. And the people just do not want to sell that land behind those businesses. And that being said, they are not going to extend back. Well, you can see they haven't extended the parking lot back any more than U.S. Gold had.
But they have to have some parking for employees, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where are the employees going to park? Where are customers...
Over in the neighbor's parking lot, you know?
That's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
And I don't even know... The other problem's going to be getting in and out of there if you are going through the drive-thru, because it's going to turn into what goes on at Wendy's, just up the road, because there's no light.
It would surprise me if they don't have a police officer out there kind of directing traffic for a period of time.
Well, can you imagine if you're trying to turn out of Del Taco and you want to go toward Wendy's?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to cross traffic? I mean, it's going to be a nightmare. There are going to be cars out in the road when they open, because, like I said, the parking lot's just not deep enough to house this. And I don't think we've ever had that particular problem, because when Panda Express opened, they're in a parking lot, so people could just go in a circle. Popeye's Chicken opened, they're in a parking lot, so you didn't have to be in the street. Ponderosa didn't have a drive-through, so there was no issue there. The only way you're going to be able to wait in this line is to wait in the street. And on 95, plugging a lane like that, that's going to be a nightmare.
Now, I know when Sonic opened up, it was awful out there, but they're off the beaten path.
Right, right. Yeah, 95.
You know, if they was on 95, that'd been awful.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And Sonic at least has a deep parking lot. And this place does not.
Did you notice at Ponderosa there in the last several months that the staff just did... The staff was young. They weren't dressed to me like staff should be. You know, they had casual...
What? I'll tell you, interestingly enough, even though I live very, very... I could have walked to Ponderosa. Terry Tackett loved to go there. And he would call me a lot and say he was down there eating and ask me to come down. And a lot of times I would come down and I wouldn't even get a meal. I would just get a drink and sit and talk with Terry. And what I noticed was everybody seemed kind of downtrodden. And the food was better. I went in when they first opened in the first week. That was a bad experience. But I did go back because I figured they were busy. They were overwhelmed. I went back and the food was better. But it just always seemed to me like the staff was a little undertrained and a little downtrodden. And I think they were having trouble getting people even back then. I knew the guy who owned it. It was a franchise. So it was owned by a guy who owned several businesses. He wasn't a Marion guy. I can't even remember his name. But he owned several businesses around Central Ohio. And I don't think he understood the Marion crowd. When I met with him, it was just my impression that he did not get Marion. And I think it was somewhat, unfortunately, mismanaged.
Yeah, especially there at the end, the staff just didn't seem to care.
No, and Marion's a different community. You know, I go to Ontario quite a bit because I like Fazoli's over there. I go to Columbus quite a bit because I like the range over there. Go up to Toledo quite a bit. And it's a different community. Nothing wrong. I mean, I'm a Marion person. Nothing wrong with the Marion community, but we do have different needs and wants in Marion, and we have our own personality. And I think if you are running that business and you don't understand that, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
I think George Kasotis would say the same thing. You know, George was downtown for I don't know how long yesterday. You know, George was in here yesterday, and you know,
yeah,
we
listened to you guys yesterday.
Yeah, well, we have people who shoot store clerks at Bargain City, and we have people, managers, who jump off the Harding Hotel. You know, we're a little different here in Marion.
Maybe a little crazy.
Well, I don't know if we're crazy because I know
a
lot of
group of the Harding Hotel.
Well, we have a lot of great, smart, wonderful people here, and there are a lot of people who are lower economic who are very smart and my audience, you know, and I'm not just, you know, I mean, I don't think I have to kiss any behind on the air, but I love when you guys call in and we have a conversation like this because you guys have good ideas, know what's going on. Marion's a smart community. That's a misconception, and that's why I don't like when people say they're going to leave Marion or that Marion is lower economic. Now, yes, if you look at the census, as far as what people make around here, it's about $32,000 a year, which is on the lower end compared to Delaware and Upper Sandusky and Columbus. But don't think the people in Marion aren't smart. Just because they don't have a lot of money going around doesn't mean they're not smart. And I think the money's going to raise because I see a lot of these jobs now offering a lot more money.
But Marion's a good, well-rounded community.
Oh, it really
is. For the most part, the weather we get, you know, is not in the extremes too often. You know, like flooding and tornadoes and snow. You know, look at the East Coast. How much snow Boston and them are supposed to get. I wouldn't want to get that much snow all the time.
Well, the other thing that's great about Marion, and I've always said this for years, we are not Columbus, where you have to pay to park and sometimes park a mile away and that sort of thing. But you can get just about any kind of fast food. You can go to just about any type of grocery store or department store. You can, I mean, we have a college right here. If you don't want to go away to college, we have a great college. We now have dorms in the last 10 to 15 years that were put up. There are things here to do, and it's
plus we're close enough to Columbus and areas where, you know, there might be something special you need, and it's just an hour's drive away to get it.
Well, I worked in Richwood at a bank. When I first got out of high school, I worked in Richwood at a bank, and also Green Camp. They had two branches back then. It was called Farmers State Bank. They're no longer around, but I was a teller at these banks while I was in college. And, you know, so I would have to drive to Richwood and drive to Green Camp, depending on which bank I was working at that day. And I'll tell you, it doesn't seem like a long way. You know, Richwood's about 20 minutes away, and Green Camp, about 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes. But I'll tell you what, if you need a gallon of milk, or you need a pair of scissors, and you're at home, that's a long drive. If you want some Taco Bell, that's a long drive.
Yeah.
To go get it. And with the gasoline prices, I just wouldn't want to. LaRue is the same thing. I wouldn't want to live in those communities. Not that they're not great communities, but I just don't want to drive 20 minutes every time I have a hankering for a McDonald's soda.
Well, I got two brothers that live in Broadway. You know where Broadway's at?
Yep.
Right there close to Raymond. And I would hate to have to drive that far, you know, to go to town for stuff.
We're very spoiled in Marion. If you live where I live, everything's right there on the east side. If I'm at the radio station, I've got Delaware Avenue right here. If you live on the north end, Main Street has just about anything you'd want. You don't even have to drive a long way in the town to get what you want.
It costs him $5 or $6 to go to Marion or Marysville.
Yeah, I
on
just...
that 5 or 6 bucks, that could have bought you some McDonald's, you know?
Well, that's it. And some
and
people...
spent 30 cents on gas.
And some people like to live... And I understand that, too. People like to live in what they call the country. But it's just too big of an... And I don't want to drive that far to work, either. Most of the people who live in those communities, I found out, do not work in those communities. And I don't want to make that commute. You know, that adds 40 minutes to your day every day. 20 minutes there and 20 minutes back. That just never appealed to me.
No.
And so, you know... I really don't know. If it's, some people like to do it, that's fine. Good for them. But I'm proud to be a part of Marion. Now, I will criticize Marion about things, but I wouldn't be here if I didn't like it.
Well, you'd have to be close to McDonald's for your Diet Coke.
And it's funny you bring that up, but I mean, think about that. We have 3 McDonald's in this town. If I lived over on the north end, I can go to McDonald's. If I lived over, if I lived on the south end, I can go to McDonald's. If I live where I live on the east end, I can go to McDonald's. Now, what other community could you do that in? Upper Sandusky, I think, only has one. Ontario, they might have 2. I know they have 1.
Butyrus, I think, only has 1.
Yeah, we have 3. So what are people complaining about here? We have 2 stores, Walmart and Meijer.
We got 2 Arby's.
2 Arby's. 3 Taco King. Bells.
Yeah.
3 Subways. And any pizza place under the sun. And it's just interesting to me how much people complain. Well, put these people in Richwood or Bucyrus or a place like that. That's why I've always liked Claret. And I always said if I was ever going to move out of Marion, the only rural area I would probably ever go to would be Claret, because Claret's about 5 minutes from Route 95.
They don't hardly even have a business district out there.
There's no business in Claret.
There used to be a carry out there on that corner years ago.
Right, but I mean,
tore down.
But you can get from Meijer to Claret in 5 minutes.
Right, yeah.
So I could do that.
It's just a straight shot.
Yeah. And
if the weather's bad, that state route is going to be good.
Right, so that's about the only place. Caledonia, I don't know, that's still 20 minutes, and you got to go down 309. That's a little ways away. Plus, Caledonia, unfortunately, 309, there's not a whole lot of business on 309. You're going to have to go to 95, which means you're going to have to go down 98. So it's going to take you a good 15 minutes to get to town.
Yeah, a little extra time.
Yeah, but that's the story, and I think Del Taco is going to be very busy, but boy, oh boy, I hope the police are ready for it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting when they open up.
Yeah, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Bye-bye. I love conversations like that. That's what I think radio should be, and I think all good radio people, and I'm not counting myself as a good radio person, but I think all good radio people realize that's what radio should be. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling back. So we have talked about the Richland Road Church of Christ and their big food giveaway tomorrow. We have talked about the boil alert out in Grandview now because of the busted line yesterday, so we have that. Okay, what else do we have to talk about here this morning? Well, I think the pizza guys are coming in next Wednesday for Groundhog Day, but I'm still not sure what we're going to do in regard to Groundhog Day. Now, we're going to have Groundhog Pizza, but I don't know. We got to have some kind of weather prediction. I'm still going to work on that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, did you hear about 7-Eleven and Speedway merging?
No, I did not.
Yes, they are. 7-Eleven bought Speedway, so they will be merging as a company.
So Speedways will become 7-Elevens.
I saw pictures. My brother told me up at Bucyrus that the gal there told him. He went in to get one of their 79-cent pops, and she charged him $1.06, and she says, oh, that's one of the newer, things with 7-Eleven having bought them. But she says you won't notice a whole lot of other things, but that you wouldn't really even know. But yet I saw a logo where it said had pictures of the lettering for Speedway, and then they had the lettering for 7-Eleven on it too. So I don't know if they're going to switch to that logo, but I thought that was interesting.
Well, I'll tell you that I'm glad you called in with that, because I'll tell you what that will do. Now this is just my prediction, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer every day, but 7-Eleven for many, many years now has been it's like McDonald's. It's a very well-known name, far more well-known than Speedway across the country. And I would imagine people traveling through Marion, or people, we have a lot of semis that come through here, would be more apt to stop at a 7-Eleven than a Speedway. And also, I think that the Speedways that we have, which I guess would just change their name, it's kind of like, it's the McDonald's of gas stations and mm-hmm. and little moto marts. So I bet their business picks up, even though they won't be doing anything different, really, except changing the signage.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too, you know, and I didn't even realize about the sign itself until I had checked it out myself, and I thought, oh, they may have a different look.
Yeah,
as
I
far
think
as that goes.
That's very, very... Yeah. Did it give any timetable on to when all this is going to happen?
Well, I think it's already happening, because that was the reaction I got from when my brother talked to this gal up at Bucyrus. You know, they're already changing prices, and I think it's begun, you know, as far as that goes.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because I've been in a couple 7-Elevens when I've taken trips to New York or Chicago and Pennsylvania, and I will say that they do have things in 7-Eleven, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but that you could not get at a Speedway or a BP or a Duke or whatever they're called now. 7-Eleven has been around a long time,
and I
think they have perfected certain items. And I think they do have some special items, too, that are very unique to 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was interesting.
Hey, you got any ideas on Del Taco? What that parking lot, that is just going to be a problem.
I think they're going to drop in from above.
They're going to have to.
Now, Scotty, remember all this talk. When the donut shop is going to open up, people will never be able to get in and out of there.
Oh, Dunkin' Donuts, yes. I do remember that. But you know what they did, and I was there, you know, the first morning doing a broadcast. It was very smart what they ended up doing, is they just routed, there was enough area in front of it where they routed people through two areas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this Del Taco is almost sitting on 95.
Well, the place is odd. You know yourself, you can even get out of Perkins if you sit there and wait for the light. That, you know, you can do that. Maybe people will be driving through Perkins parking lot. No.
Well, and I also have to say, in defense of the donut shop, I don't think that donut shops probably do the business that this place would do, because their menu is quite extensive. I did not realize that they sold all that stuff.
Yeah. I guess I'm of the thought that if you don't try to go there the first day, I never could understand anybody trying to go someplace on the first day and expecting not to be overwhelmed with either getting into a place or getting waited on or all that. But I think it'll all probably even out sooner or later, and we've yet to see what will happen. But I'm not getting excited about it, but you know, as far as how they're going to handle the traffic, it's never going to be perfect down there because of the way it was set up initially, and that's all there is to it. And Wendy's has been dealing with that for years.
Well, and you know, that's kind of the interesting thing, is that if Wendy's did not have that deep parking lot, which is far deeper than Del Taco's area, I don't know how they would survive, because they just route people way back in that parking lot. And I do think one of the saviors of Dunkin' is they're next to a side street. And when they opened, I mean, a lot of people were going out on that side street and hitting the light. And there is no light at Del Taco.
This is going to be so much fun.
I know. Well, I tell you, that day to drive out on 95, if you're, they better have the cruisers out there.
Let's go out there and park in the mausoleum parking lot and just watch.
Just watch all day. But I tell you, I wish them the best, because I'll tell you, this menu would be very appealing to somebody like me who I do like a good burger and I do like a good salad. This sounds like a very good menu, and I think they're going to be barraged with business.
Right. I think it sounds cool.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for calling with the info.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Well, how about that? 7-Eleven merging or taking over, it sounds like, buying out Speedway. That'll be interesting. We've got a few Speedways here in town, and 7-Eleven is a much better known name, certainly nationwide, even probably regionally, than Speedway is, although Speedway has a following. I think that'll be an interesting thing to see as time goes on. I don't know that we ever did have a 7-Eleven here in Marion. I don't remember if we did, but apparently we're going to have a few here before too long. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any thoughts on the Groundhog Day? I know we're going to have groundhog pizza that day, but we've got to predict the weather somehow. We're not going to do it with a groundhog, obviously. We're not going to rip that off. But we just need some way to predict if we're going to have an early spring or not. Go ahead, caller.
I don't think you've heard from Windpipe in a couple days.
No, it's been a while. Did something get stuck in the windpipe like a banana?
Not quite. Might have been a plantain, though.
Okay.
You know, kind of a tropical version of a banana. Well, bananas are tropical, but plantains being a larger, and I guess that gives me hope for a summer. Although it's unfortunate because, you know, June's my birthday, so maybe I'm not looking forward to that. That merger, Scott, it's a little odd because it took place I'm looking at it, May of last year. And it's like you would never know. Remember when Speedway bought Super America? And that took place really quickly. The three speedways in Marion, you would know, were any of them Super Americas? Did any Super Americas close?
We did have Super Americas. I think they were.
Yeah, and
I don't remember any closing, but I do know we had Super Americas.
Had those commercials, Speedway Super America, then everything was just Speedway. And again, I think Sheetz is waiting to see what happens with this before they go to Marion, because I'm thinking they might even build one by the mall, because there's plenty of real estate there. It's probably a little less than the east side.
Well, you know, I know there is putting a gas station in a community is kind of there's a lot more complications to it than just saying I'm going to buy land and open up a restaurant, because.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe the county commissioners, if they were to build past the mall, would have to approve this to put in the lines and so on and so forth. And I know that when Kroger expanded a few years ago, or were planning to expand, that they bought the land across the street, I believe I was told, where the BP was, and pretty much just knocked it down and made that a parking lot so they didn't have competition for their gas station over there.
Just some of these places, you don't know if it's a gas station, convenience store, or a quick service restaurant, and that's kind of what Sheetz is, and the bigger speedways, and you have the smaller ones, and you got, you know, these that are as big as a McDonald's, but it's also a gas station, and they have a truck section and a car section and the car wash. It's quite a change from the, you know, the service station that we had a couple generations ago. And you see these stores that are three or four things at one time, and I don't think 7-Eleven has a location on the OSU campus, but you don't see a lot of that around here. And then we have that Moto Mart. I don't know of any other Moto Marts in the area, but they certainly aren't south of Marion. So I just don't know when we're going to see the rebranding, or maybe they'll just keep the name. It's like, remember T-Mobile and I have Sprint, and T-Mobile and Sprint merged, and T-Mobile kept saying they're going to retire the name Sprint, but they still use it. So a lot of people don't even know how to designate their mobile provider. I just still call it Sprint. I mean, I remember when they bought Nextel. And you have all these mergers, and you kind of wonder exactly what name the company uses. But as long as things work, it's not a big deal. I thought Speedway, they're based in Western Ohio. kind of a local company. I mean, they were part of Marathon, I believe. I'm like, well, now it's 7-Eleven, which is a national name. I kind of like the local aspect of it.
Well, it's interesting. I'll be interested to see what happens. If some of the price changing is happening, it would suggest to me that I think they probably will go with the name 7-Eleven, because I think it's more vastly known to the people who are traveling through, semi-drivers, people on vacation, so on and so forth, and they might be more apt to stop there.
Yeah, it's just become a branding and become the fact that it's a one-stop, as... It's unclear. Are these places a convenience store, are they a gas station, or are they a quick service restaurant? And you know, you make, get your own fountain drink. I mean, they sell small quantities of aspirin and small medication amounts that you might need while you're traveling. And now vaping is a big item too. They got these vaping and CBD. They have rather large displays. So you just see how these businesses evolve. And 7-Eleven may be big in other parts of the country, but doesn't really seem that big here. It's to me, it's a Speedway area. And again, now the Sheetz has kind of moved to the west, and we'll see if they go a little bit north also. It's been several months, and you wouldn't even know it unless you read about it. Then are they going to close some of the locations? We had Speedway and Super America as Coke and Pepsi, and you would see one place across the street from the other, kind of like, you know, sometimes you might see a Meijer and a Walmart across the street, and it's like, if they become the same company, are they going to keep both locations open?
Well, my guess is they probably they don't want to alienate the Speedway customer, so they're probably trying to do things very slowly.
It would appear, yeah. It's the whole business is kind of fascinating. It's not what it used to. I mean, with the pumps, with the dials, and where they might have pumped your own gas and check your tire pressure. Now it's a case where these gas stations think they're a convenience store and a quick service restaurant. And some of these places, it's like going into a Subway. And you can sit down and eat. You don't even have to buy gas. You can just sit there and park, like going to a restaurant. And we'll see exactly what transpires. And, you know, I brought up, like you said, there was a UDF in Marion at one time, but I don't think there are any there currently, and the Moto Mart. In fact, Marion has Rite Aids, and they left Columbus. So it's like you go half an hour up the road, and you see different stores altogether.
It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, I'd be kind of fascinated, because Speedway is so ingrained in my brain, and it's like 7-Eleven just has this connotation. They're open 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., they're a convenience store. I mean, they might have gas. And Speedway, it's like you go there at 4 in the morning if you want to buy a 2-liter of soda, or you need to get gas. Most of them are 24 hours. So it will be an interesting study for sure.
We shall see.
Let's see in a year from now exactly if those three Speedways are still Speedways, and what else might have come to town. Okay, that's about all I had for you, Scott.
All right, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you get the busy signal, just means we are on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying back in, 740-383-9944, 54 and a half minutes past the hour on this getaway Friday morning. But do tune in on Groundhog Day next Wednesday, I believe it will be, and we will have our friends Bob Welch here from Columbus with the Groundhog Pizza, and we're going to have some kind of weather prediction. I'm not sure how we're going to do it yet, but we will have some kind of weather prediction that will not involve a groundhog. The groundhog portion of that day for us is going to be the pizza, but I don't know, well, maybe a meteorologist, maybe a guest from somebody. Haven't decided yet, but we will have some kind of weather prognostication. Okay, what I did want to mention here this morning, I was going through my archives last night, which have become quite extensive when it comes to radio and certain things. I think you can hear probably the paper bag as I move it there, or plastic bag. I have the weather statistics for Marion here. Now, I believe these were Charlie Evers. Jeannie Evers gave these to me. And there is a lot of information here. These were the official weather statistics that were sent to Cleveland. And I was going through these last night, and it was very fascinating, because a lot of these things go back to 1978 and 1979, and of course there's been a lot of talk this week about the blizzard of 1978. So where is that paper that I was... See, I should have set it aside last night. But trust me, this is weather information galore here. If you want to know how much precipitation fell and when it fell and what the average temperatures were, this would be the place to go. Now, let me see here. Okay. Now, this is an interesting one. This is January 1978, which would have been when the blizzard was, I guess. So, what do we have here? The temperatures. And we also have the relative humidity here, which is kind of interesting as well. Now, I am... here's something interesting. January of 1978, record of river and climatological observations. The weather house could not be reached on January 26th because of the blizzard. Precipitation for the 27th include the 26th. Now, here is something interesting down at the bottom. The blizzard hits at 4 a.m. January 26th. Wind speeds reached a max of 80 miles per hour. This storm is listed as the worst winter storm in the history of Ohio. The barometer reached a low of 28.35, also a record. The mean temperature was 16.5. The average temperature was 16.5. The normal temperature was 29.8. Precipitation was 4.10. And the normal was 2.88. Now, I think that's probably daily for the whole month of January, not just the particular day of the blizzard. Does anybody have any memories of the blizzard? Now there are some official weather... Well, that's 1976. Let's see if we can find something again. I know there's something in here. I have a lot of these things, weather reports, that go back to this. Here's 78. Ah, this is the one I was looking for. 1978. The time of the blizzard. All right, I just gave you all the means and averages and all that. But in January of 1978, we had 23 days of precipitation. This is the month of the blizzard. 23 days of precipitation. The snowfall for the entire month of January was 40.6 inches. The high temperature that month was 48 degrees, and the low temperature was negative 10. Now, interestingly enough, February of 1978, we got 8.4 inches of snow the entire month, and the high temperature was 34 degrees. The average temperature in February was 12 degrees, colder than January. And March got up to 29.3 degrees and 2.6 inches of snow. So that's how the blizzard all went in 1978. All right, let's see here. There are some notes here at the bottom. And I was trying to see if there were any notes here in regard to the blizzard. Doesn't look like there are any notes here in regard to the blizzard, but I will tell you the summer of 1978, after the blizzard, June The average temperature was 69 degrees, 69.3. July was 72 degrees. August was 70.5. So that's how it stacked up, the year of the blizzard, 1978. Now, 1979, by the way, the following year, snowfall for the month of January was 18.7. A little different than 40.6. Now, that's not the total amount the blizzard brought in, because there were 23 days of precipitation in January of 1978. But there's some weather data, which I have a lot of, and I appreciate Jeannie Evers for giving this to me, and maybe we can talk about that when we come back, and we'll get this game started to give away the Wendy's and or San Soda gift card. Stay tuned, back in just a few minutes.
Well, sometimes. And get what they want to eat, or either have you to fix it, or either come to the house and cook. They would eat to the dining room, and you would eat in the kitchen.